Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, this is Tom Cruise, and your mission, if you choose to accept it, is to listen to this really, really great Sandspants radio podcast. Wow.
Hey, America, this is your president, Sleepy Joe Biden, just letting you know that I'm taking it back to 2003 in the White House tonight. That's right, me and Hunter are playing seminal record Elefunk by the Black Eyed Peas, loud, proud, and in full, and you better believe that my girl Fergie is saying the R word 50 times on track 3, just as our founding fathers wanted her to. God bless this goddamn beautiful country.
Are we gonna watch the game tonight?
Well, in a way, every episode that we've recorded of Hey Fam is always
the big game.
Well, it's always supported women in sport,
of course.
So we're recording this while the game is on.
I think it starts in an hour.
Yeah, we're recording it while it's
there was
on.
A lot of traffic getting to your house tonight.
Was there really?
Yeah.
Because the game is between us. Isn't
yes,
it?
That's right. Of course, we're talking about the
Women's World Cup.
World Cup semi-final between
Australia
and the Beans. Bean lady, Mrs. Bean.
The Bean Machine, yeah.
And
Dr. Robotnik's Bean Machine, otherwise known as the English team.
But people are like really taking it, like it's sick.
It's crazy, yeah, it's great.
I can't tell you the last time I watched a soccer game. I think I was dating a girl who was really into the World Cup.
Right.
And it was we stayed out till like 3 a.m.,
And this would have been like 2006, right, when Australia made it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember that. Everyone was like, everyone was wearing scarves.
Yeah, and I was just like, okay, cool. Let's stay up and drink so we can watch this game.
Yeah. I remember getting up early to watch that one.
I feel like it was 2003 even. 2004?
No, it falls on the odd years of Olympics.
Okay.
Trust me, I'm that dude.
Plus,
I know when and where I was.
We went out to dinner, a family dinner.
McDonald's.
Dumpling place.
Oh, dumpling place.
Is it even a Sizzler to go to?
I think I drove past one in the Gold Coast within the last 18 months.
Believe it or not, we're not doing an 18-hour road trip to go to Sizzler as a family.
But I mean, 10 years ago, though. Oh, you mean recently?
I mean, this is like Saturday night.
Oh, would you remember when you were dating that girl?
Oh, no. When we were dating that girl, I went to like 4 bars that aren't open in Sydney anymore.
Yeah, which ones? Let's list them.
Actually, no. Is the Strawberry Hills, is that still open?
I think it's like the Ship of Theseus. Like, it's there, but every part of it's been rebuilt that it no longer resembles the Strawberry. Remember, you'd go in there and it'd be like a 2 meter by 2 meter downstairs. And like, that was it? And a kind of rooftop or something? I think now it's like essentially like a multiplex car park.
Yeah.
But it's still a bar.
I think mostly it was just like a bunch of weird CBD bars. Like, remember how like they were just tons of pubs that stay open.
You know what? I walked from I didn't go into it last week, but Noon took me to see the opening night. Told you off, Mike, the Elvis musical.
Yeah, which we're gonna get into tonight.
I think we stopped recording last week and I was like, oh dude, I didn't tell you. I went to the Elvis musical on Saturday. Which is kind of all that needs to be said about that.
Was it not good or?
No. It's not.
So it has nothing to do with the Baz Luhrmann movie, right?
No, just the fact that it's like capitalizing on it.
Sure.
But it's very funny because it's like endorsed by the like Elvis, what do you call it? The Elvis estate. It ends at his like special when everything's good. And then it's just over.
Oh, that's so weird.
You're like, what? He's like married, happy, got a daughter.
The end.
And he has his comeback. And you're like, no, no, that's the halfway mark. Yeah. Like, then it gets really bad.
He didn't even get fat.
He didn't go to Vegas. Which it just ends with him doing his special on TV that made him like cool again.
Oh, that's so weird.
It was so, and it was 3 hours to get to that.
Does someone like run on stage with a placard at the end saying Elvis will return? Just this, yeah, and Elvis black. To Elvis the musical too.
It just says Elvis later had a dramatization film. Sure, just flashed up. Elvis was later found dead in his bed after
on the toilet.
Successful run in Vegas, and also like the Colonel just didn't have a Tom Hanks accent. He was just American.
Yeah, right.
And I was like, I need that, like...
Yeah, I don't know. How could you not take that cue?
It was insane. It was bizarre.
Like,
it
Tom
was,
Hanks didn't give one of the weirdest performances of all time.
To not, like...
To not be copied by every musical performance.
It's like how in that Harley Quinn series, the Bane in that is just doing Tom Hardy.
Yeah, of course.
It's like, you got to. Like, that's Bane
That's
now.
The voice now,
That's Bane. Yeah, it's bizarre, but... Insane night, but as I was walking back, it was a Saturday night and I parked like whatever.
Wait, before you go to this, I know you said you didn't like it. Did Noon love it?
No.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
wow,
no, this is an eternal situation. Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah.
Eternal / Sweet Secret Invasion.
/ everything.
Everything we don't like.
That we don't like. Fast 10.
Of course. That's
Yeah. And as we're walking back, I just had one of those like moments where you're like, oh, these were the CBD bars that I would go to when I thought like, that was what you did. And like none of them exist anymore.
Yeah.
And you're just like, oh, that's this place. And now it's like a shoe show. I mean, it's really
like no one
fucking big yellow taxi hours. You know what I mean?
No one under 35 would ever just go out drinking. It's so weird. I mean, it's healthy. Great. Good for that. Those many generations below us.
Yeah. But when you're like 18, you're like, well, this is it now. Like, I'm an adult now and I go out and I drink.
Yeah. I never went to clubs. Despite being like DJ pill.
You saw too much.
You
knew how it worked.
I saw too much, brother.
No, but like you knew, it's like, you know, you knew how the sausage was made.
Sure.
You didn't want to fall for those tricks. The
cover charge. I did when I was older, but when I was like 18 or 21, I just like would just go to pubs.
Oh, totally. I'd go to pubs.
Seven pubs in one night.
Totally. And then get like a case and be like, let's go back to someone's house. And then that was when the shit was good. And then you might like pre-YouTube, but then when the Wii came out and that was the first time you could access, you know, that's like that was the killer app.
You had the internet browser on the Wii that you could, you could
but
do the internet
app, I think originally
you could do the internet on the television
and you just take turns. I've got a funny video for you.
Yeah
and I think I've said this so many times, but I always
Creed
for,
Shreds
I would go for pre-shreds I would
Creed
go,
Creed,
Creed
Shreds.
Shreds,
yeah.
I would always pick Taint sketch from Mr. Show.
Oh, nice. Nathan Fielder's Morning Walk.
Oh, yeah.
Side of
that,
Smooth.
That's so early, isn't
yeah,
it?
That yeah, was like yeah, one yeah. Of my, was like one of my go-tos.
Do you remember that like Chow Down? David Blaine ripoff one where it's like a guy pretending to be David Blaine in like a laneway?
And he makes the guy come in his
I
own.
Think so. Yeah, I love that one.
That one's incredible. He just busted a nut.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although just the hits. It's like the Marx Brothers. It's like the Buster Keaton of YouTube.
One of the last nights you and I had where we were both drinking was at your parents' house. And we just, my wife was there and my kids and everyone went to bed except you and me.
Just
and
on
we,
YouTube.
And we watched
downstairs,
things
right?
we used to watch on YouTube.
Yeah.
Incredible.
I mean, look, if this podcast didn't have such a defined,
subject matter. Yeah.
And so like defined, like, I'm so like, get it started right now. I don't know. A clear like a vision, then I'd say that's a great idea for a podcast. Things we used to watch on the internet.
That's great. And then you like spend an entire hour
breaking it down. Trying to find out where the person is.
Why the Ninja Turtles Lick My Nuts video
is a
hits
classic.
So hard.
But the thing is like, I keep going back to them. You know what I mean?
Of course.
As it's probably one of the most referencing on this show, Risky Business.
Oh, just God, I love that video. Risky Business Gone Wrong. If you listen to Hey Fam and you haven't watched the YouTube clip, Risky Business Gone Wrong. I think it was one of the first things we ever bonded over.
I was about to say that's as integral as the cigarettes and Coca-Cola that Paul McCartney and John Lennon bonded over for Beatles lore is Risky Business Gone Bad or Gone Wrong is like that for us.
But yeah, so on Saturday night.
Dumplings
with the fam.
Where'd you go?
This six spot called Dumplings Taipei in Castle Hill.
Cool.
It's like Taiwanese style dumplings.
Sick.
Very, very good.
Nice.
And they have like a Taiwanese supermarket as part of the restaurant. We bought a bunch of like ice creams and shit. It was so good. And on the way home, the kids were talking about the Matildas game. And obviously Tilly is very invested because it's her fucking name.
Yeah.
And so we were like, oh, when we get home, we'll see if the game's still on. And
it was that shootout.
So it was, yeah, on the way home, B was checking her phone and it's like, oh, the game's still going. It's overtime. And Archie, of course, wants to know all the information. And he's like, well, what happens if they don't score a goal during overtime? Because it was nil all. And
Nil. Yeah,
Neil. No, Neil. Or
you said Neil. You Neil. Had a real Melbourne Neil. Moment. Neil. Like Neil.
Neil. Neil.
Neil by mouth.
I don't know why I said Neil. Neil Diamond. All.
Yeah.
Well,
the blood hasn't read Slam Dunk because it would definitely get into the nitty gritty of how scoring works, wouldn't it?
Yeah, for sure. But yeah. They were like, "What happens after overtime?" And I said, "If no one scores," and I was like, "Oh, well, then they have a penalty shootout where five team members go against each other." Until like five from each team trying to score a goal until one scores and the other one and the other one team doesn't. And B's like, how do you know this? I'm like, oh, it's not actually from soccer knowledge. It's because that's what happens at the end of the second Mighty Ducks movie.
Yeah, it's true. It is. It's 100% true.
Yeah, and that's why.
And hockey is famously soccer with a stick.
I don't know why. Is it actually?
No, of course not.
Why is it the same? That is exactly what happens in Mighty Ducks 2.
I think that's how a lot of sports where, you know, the aim of it is to like get it through something or like hit a point, like put an object through something. It goes to shootouts.
Did you watch or have you watched like a highlights reel of the penalty shootout?
I was at, what night was it? Friday?
Saturday night.
Saturday.
Levin's family dumpling night.
I don't know what I was doing. I was doing something.
Cool.
Oh, I was watching, I watched two movies. So no, I watched Chungking Express and Fallen Angels.
Incredible.
Wong Kar-wai films. Very good. Very, very good films. I didn't feel like an ally that night, but I, again...
You were an ally to cinema.
Yeah, I was an ally to the real women in sport. The Hong Kong cinema scene of the early 90s.
But
dude, you got to watch those movies.
Sure.
Yeah. There's an incredible song in one of them.
I've seen Chungking Express.
Have you?
Yeah.
Yeah, cool.
Long time ago. Wow.
I forgot you were a film guy before you before you stopped and now you're slowly coming back.
I mean, we've got
an amazing cover that I've been like just fucking busting from it because it actually one of the actors in the film was like a pop star. Like an actual like person whose job it was to...
In Fallen Angels?
In Chungking Express, and they have a song in the film. Now, the film's from 1994, but you'll be able to tell what it is. Just a straight up cover.
Oh, Dreams by Cranberries?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, it plays like five times in the movie.
Amazing.
And she's in the scenes, but not singing. And I played this on repeat all week. It's like better than the OG. And RIP Dolores.
No way. It could not be
better.
Just
wait till you hear this shit.
Why don't I remember this?
Sorry, long intro, but I'm
not. No, it's killer. It's one of the best.
You can't skip it. Or wait,
and also, you can't sue us.
No.
Ling is their best song. Come on.
No, yes. Dude, it's.
But do they do the. Yeah,
you better believe it.
Oh, wow, it's amazing.
The like Irish inflection is still like somehow translated. That was one thing that.
Yeah.
That's the thing I was wondering too. See?
I suppose you can't really do the song without doing that.
Dude, it's brilliant. That's been like my soundtrack for the week.
Ling is so good.
They're all good. Ling is amazing. Something about Dreams, though, I loved as a
Dreams
kid. My mom would flog that album.
Zombie, obviously a killer.
Zombie, a huge killer. Ling and Dreams are like, do you have to? Do you have to?
I love the violin on Ling, so good.
Yeah, no, I'm a Dreams guy.
You know I'm such a fool for you.
You got me wrapped around your finger. I was like, yeah, so cliche as hell, but the biggest 90s weekend, because that's like I have the Criterion channel and has like trailers.
So you are an ally to cinema.
I'm an ally
all.
To cinema, of course. It's like being a buying a Matilda scarf this like, week. It's the same as being a cinema fan this week and subscribing to Criterion, but it has like it's cool on like a lot of streaming services. You can watch it with commentary, like it has all the options. But I always like watching the trailers, and I forgot that Quentin Tarantino released Chungking Express in the States. So it's like a band apart. And I forgot that was like his production company. Cool. It's like presents. That's and it's so like weird. In the font. And it's like Quentin Tarantino presents. And it's like using that song. And I was like, this is one of the best trailers I've seen.
That's probably why I watched it when I was in high school.
I think that's why I knew about it. Because he was like at that era, you know, and there's like, you know, Marty Scorsese and George Lucas, but like bringing out a lot of Japanese cinema and stuff, late 80s, early 90s.
Yeah.
I think it was like him doing that. And I don't know. I kind of miss that. I kind of miss that. Like now films are so accessible to a degree that you don't have like a white guy mansplaining, like Akira Kurosawa to you. Like I kind of miss that. Cause then I don't know. I want that stamp of approval.
So this penalty shootout, it lasts 7 rounds.
Yeah, it was like
of either like both teams scoring or neither scoring.
I went through 10.
And like you just feel for that fucking goalie so
they're the
bad.
Main character of the planet.
Yeah,
that, like,
it's crazy as shit. Yeah. And the like Archie like was really invested in the game, and then just like he goes, I can't watch this. I'm gonna be in my room. Yeah. Let me know what happens. Like it was the pressure was like until he's like. I really want us to win. Like, yeah, like, and then, like,
it's worse than when
I couldn't help but think in terms of sports manga and, like, going, like, fuck, if this was, like, a sports manga,
that'd be 10 issues.
Yeah, 3 volumes.
Yeah, yeah. Minimum. I'm like, as you know, I've, like, a big plot twist. I'm, like, 2/3 of the way through Slam Dunk.
That's so sick. I'm so proud of you.
I think I really started reading it. As you know, we had a week off. I didn't read it then. But I started reading it last week, I guess.
Yeah, you were at like volume 4 or 5 last week.
And I'm just like, I'm up to 20, almost up to 23.
God, that's so good.
And I'm just like, as someone who's just read that, there will be like I think 8 volumes are essentially like 2 halves of a game.
It's so good. We got like just under a week until the premiere.
Yeah,
in Sydney,
I'm like and fully dunk-pilled.
Because I hadn't read it all when I watched the movie.
I'm thinking of shaving my head red. Shaving my head again and just dying it bright red.
God, it's so good.
Just Hanamichi. Getting angry at everyone.
Sakuragi.
Calling myself the Phenom. I love it. It's
poking people in the asshole.
Yeah, I love that. Just headbutting people and fingering my coach's butt.
It's so funny that is like a funny gag you can do to someone in Japan. Have they culturally had to speak out against that?
I don't know.
I have a friend who's a school teacher in Osaka, and he said like the weirdest thing to get used to was all the students like ramming their fingers up his asshole.
That's awesome. I forget that bit of Oppenheimer when he finds out. Finds out the 2 bombs dropped, and they're like, "Is there any? What's been the reaction to the fallout?" It's like, well, kids are just sticking fingers in teachers' butts.
Yeah, no. When the politician's like, "And don't drop bombs on any on Osaka." One time I was there, a child fingered my asshole.
Yeah, and met my wife, and I quite enjoyed that. So what happened at the end?
Australia won.
Oh no, I do know that. Did Archie come out?
I was like, oh, we won. And he just kind of yelled, thank God. Like, yeah. But it was, it's been a pretty cool moment.
It's been cool that it's in Australia. Like the last time I think anything like this has happened was the Olympics when everybody, you know, the games were,
for one thing,
accessible to our time zone.
Mm-hmm.
Australia was performing.
Did you see any big moments? I saw Kathy Freeman win her gold medal.
I saw that, but on television.
I was there. I was there, bro.
I saw some tennis and some basketball.
Saw some grass hockey.
I was
My dad was just like anything he could buy tickets to. He did.
My uncle.
There was one week where we went to an Olympic event every day of the week.
Rules. My uncle, who is like, as I've said before, like a real reputable doctor. Like doctored really hard. He was like an official medic.
Doctored really hard.
Well, he doctored so hard that he's like, I think I've told you this so many times, he's a mister.
Yeah, you've never said that he doctored really hard.
Well, he like, you know, he made it to the semis of being a doctor or
sure.
whatever. He went
penalty shootout.
Yeah, he went
doctoring.
Hard in the doctor paint. And he was like an official medic for the Olympics. So he has like all of his shit framed and like Olympic stuff and that cool Sydney 2000.
I had to give up my bedroom for a month to
Kathy Freeman?
No, to the parents of a British Olympian. Because like obviously the Olympians were, they had accommodation in the village, but if you're their parents and you want to see them compete,
yeah.
Other families would put you up.
Oh, like billeting.
We had a random bean family stay at our house, and I got to sleep downstairs on a fold-out bed for a few weeks.
How fun is that?
Was so sick.
Yeah, how
I loved
fun is it.
It
when you... I remember when like my parents renovated my childhood home, and there was like a chunk of time, like maybe 2 weeks, where my bedroom just didn't have a roof, and so I was displaced and slept on a fold-out thing. And they were like, we're so sorry. But at that age, it's like the coolest thing ever. You're like, my bed folds up.
Yeah. And like, I was like,
oh my God, I put a TV out here.
Exactly. I had a TV and I was so far from the other, from everyone else in the house that I could have music up really loud.
Yeah. I loved it. They don't realize.
Yeah.
They do realize, I think. And they're trying to sign.
They don't know that I love living down here.
Yeah. I think they do know. And they're trying to apologize. So you start to think, oh, maybe this isn't good.
So, but yeah, it's really cool that I feel like there's been a push for women's soccer for a while. And like, you know, to the point where like there's like a women's soccer Lego set and all these things where you can totally tell people are really trying to get behind it.
Yeah.
But I feel like the public, at least in Australia, could not, like everyone is like Team Matildas now.
Of course they are. Also, it helps that they're winning.
Yeah, but obviously, yeah, of course. But like, I feel like if they won 4 years ago, there wouldn't be this same level of support, I don't think. I guess because the game, I mean, it's like a perfect cocktail of everything. But you know, like people that are like women's soccer is boring. Like they don't really have a leg to stand on right now because
no, I don't think they ever did. I didn't know about these debates. As a guy who goes to the movies,
of course,
I was unaware of such.
Well, maybe when they make a movie about
Barbie just made a billion. So I'm like, women are great at movies now. You know, like Margot Robbie and Greta Gerwig. That made billion-dollar movie.
My favorite soccer players. Yeah. The Krispy Kreme.
Mm. Oh, you said you got a box.
Yeah, so they did a thing today where you got a free Krispy Kreme if your name is Matilda.
Oh, wow.
And so B went to Krispy Kreme in Parramatta with her Medicare card and said, here's my daughter's name. It's Matilda. They gave her a fucking box.
That's cool.
Of 12 Krispy Kreme donuts.
Yeah, yeah. I now regret telling she named you a kid I don't Matilda. Want one. You were like, do you want one? And I was like, no, it's fine, but
dude. Like,
they're not great.
Yeah.
But still, now that I know the backstory, it's kind of legendary.
Yeah. But what a bizarre campaign.
Yeah.
You can't do that for the men's team. No one's named their kid
I've seen
Socceroo.
A few things that are like, if the Matildas win, I think Domino, Pizza Hut were doing if the Matildas win, people get free pizzas.
Well, if they win the grand final, we get a public holiday.
Yeah, which is the first time New South Wales has gotten like a jock holiday. Because you know Melbourne has like a week off of like horse
the grand
racing
final and stuff.
They have a day off before the grand final and like after the grand final.
Right.
Absurd. Absolutely absurd. And I wouldn't be saying, no, you know what? If I were Victorian, I'd still be calling that absurd. I'm actually going to Victoria. I bought flights.
For the grand final?
Yeah, the Weezer show. It's my grand final.
Weezer versus Carlton.
Yeah. Weezer versus my music taste.
So yeah, Weezer are supporting KISS in Australia, but only doing a side show
only
in Brisbane and Melbourne.
Only doing two headline shows in Brisbane and Melbourne and Sydney. They're only supporting KISS, which I'm not a KISS fan, so I don't care. But Rivers Cuomo is one of the biggest KISS fans.
My favorite rock band, KISS.
Yeah.
As he once said.
Loves KISS, so he's ecstatic. He's never played with them before.
Really?
No. So he's like, wow, I can't believe I'm playing with them.
That's so weird that it's happening in Australia
first. I know,
first.
Very weird, but I couldn't be fucked watching them in a support slot. So their set list have been very good. I had a very excited exchange with our, I guess, CEO of the podcast, Joel Dusha. We are both going to that concert. Knowing
great.
My social skills, I might see him or might not.
He might not recognize you underneath the hoodie and glasses that you're going to wear to the concert.
Yeah, or he might recognize me if I go in my Joker outfit. I'm really excited. It's like October.
That's sick.
Yeah.
I'm going to be in Melbourne in October too for PAX.
Oh, what dates?
For like the first weekend.
Oh, same. It's like 6th.
Oh, cool. I'm only there on the 5th and I fly back on the 6th.
I'm there too on the 5th.
Dude.
I'm going for a few days.
Okay.
I'm just like going to take some time off and just vibe
come
out.
Come to PAX with me.
Yeah, invite me.
Oh, you know it's going to smell crazy in there.
Yeah, you know. What's going to smell crazy?
Yeah,
the Weezer What's the fucking rated Venn diagram? It's just a circle. The Weezer show.
You know how people do like those weird things where they like wave a Petri dish around like a toilet and then like see like.
Yeah, what diseases they are. Like, yeah. There was one where like they took at work, we had a guy who like kept his festival bands on. You know how like losers do
oh,
that?
Oh, gross. Yeah.
And I had like 9 types of hepatitis and like influenza, like literally.
Fuck.
And they're just like, why do you wear this? They did that thing. But yeah, it'll be 6 hours at PAX.
I'm sure like my kids have a soft toy or two that is carrying some fucked up diseases just from being like hugged and dribbled on for 5 years.
Oh, legitimately.
Yeah.
So what are you doing at PAX?
DJing the opening party.
That's awesome. Like, what, Metal Gear Solid songs?
Yeah, exactly. No, just like the 30 second
No, I'm just gonna play Marvel Snap songs.
Yeah,
those go pretty hard.
Yeah, can we recreate you and I watching Black Adam and hearing that? I think at one point my like volume was on and like.
Yeah, I was
it's
like,
so funny that it became a trend whenever you and I would go to DC movies that I would tune out just by like.
You just pick up your phone and start scrolling.
I've never done that before.
As an ally to movies,
it's
insane. It was bizarre. Yeah,
it's actually insane that I would do that. Did you see? Speaking of cinema and allies, that the Meg is like outgrossing the Flash. It's made way more money the Meg 2 on such a smaller budget.
That's amazing.
Just it's doing like ginormous numbers.
There's like. I think it's exactly 1 month until we neither of us see the Blue Beetle.
Yeah, well, we haven't been invited.
I mean, we're going to get invited. And are you going to go?
There's like a huge morbid curiosity.
No, I'm fully tapped out.
Yeah, I'm tapped out, but I'm willing to go if like if Marvel Snap can reel me back in with like an amazing new like a series of cards or something. I'll go if Tears of the Kingdom had just come out then. Like I did The Little Switch. Mermaid. Nope. I was like, I think I sent you a photo of me playing Tears of the Kingdom in the State Theater while like Melissa McCarthy and stuff were on stage getting interviewed.
I was playing a random Kirby game on the 3DS during Uncharted.
Yeah, I don't blame you at all.
Man, we saw some shit movies last year.
People make shit movies.
They're the worst.
I was just thinking before when we said Oppenheimer and then DC. How fucking crazy is it? It hit me today. Because I was just thinking of films and Christopher Nolan because, you know, I didn't watch the women's soccer. Then we got a Batman trilogy directed by Christopher Nolan. That's fucking crazy. A standalone. Like...
Yeah, I mean...
It was like... That was so good.
And he did that so he could eventually make the movie Oppenheimer. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's just like, isn't it amazing that he, like, a trilogy, not one... But this guy did a take on Batman that was consistent for three films.
And then he also cock-blocked the studio from making anything tie into it.
Anything. And was just like, this is standalone.
Introduced a Robin and then said, no, no, no.
Well, no, that was the...
That'll do.
Well, but like the idea of Robin is all you need. You know what I mean? Whereas like the greedy...
Oh, I'm so glad we didn't get more Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
It was never going to happen. It ended there. Like that's where it ended. But it's just like, isn't it insane that we got... That was like only like... 10 years ago, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Think of the fucking shit that's come since then from everywhere.
Have you seen the SNL open, like Joseph Gordon-Levitt was hosting?
I think so. Is he singing or something?
Instead of doing a monologue, he does the song Make Him Laugh from Singing in the Rain. Make Him Laugh, Make
Him
Laugh.
He's got that real...
And like does all that like... But it doesn't do any jokes. It's just him doing verbatim the routine where he like runs up the wall. I think Bobby Moynihan steps in and does like one joke during it. But the crowd is just silent.
Yeah, because you go to SNL like, what the fuck is this? Yeah, Broadway's a few streets over. You know what I mean? It's so weird. But yeah, just insane that we got like, that is precious that exists.
Yeah.
In today's like climate of fucking Moon Knight. And you know what I mean? It's absurd that it exists and has like a really good composer and like, insane actors and beautiful cinematography. And
as
like,
Michael Caine. Michael Caine is in Alfred. Three Batmans.
Morgan Freeman is the gadgets guy. Yeah. It's absurd. It's so insane.
He's Batman's Donatello.
It's insane. Don't take that for granted. And it's so weird now to think like Christopher Nolan just did all three. Like he didn't tap out after one. Like it's so weird that he was like, I'm going to do three of these.
What's weirdest about it is like, this is how lost in my way I got. When I first saw Batman Begins and Batman and Dark Knight, I was such a film bro that the Batmanness of it all, I hated.
And now you're like, that's so cool.
Well, now I'm like, I've come back to but like at the time, remember it took you being like, actually the movies are good for me to give them a second chance and then get into Batman. And that's when all this bullshit started. Yeah. You got me into, you started me on this.
But I'm not even,
path
I was never part of that bullshit either. I was just like casual.
You had like the three Batman comics that everyone owns, but I hadn't ever read them before.
No.
So what was Killing Joke? Dark Knight Returns and
Year One, the fucking trilogy of Edgelords.
Yeah, but then after, like from that, I got like
the
Long Halloween
trilogy.
And
oh no, Long Halloween is also it. And yeah,
I love Long Halloween.
Long Halloween rules.
Dark Victory.
But fuck, it's insane that we got that, and like Dark Knight is just like a movie that's kind of about Batman, but not really. You know what I mean? Like,
sure, yeah, yeah.
It feels like you've just picked up an issue.
It'd be so funny if like.
he's like, yeah, I'm going to make a superhero movie again.
Oh, he actually explicitly said in a recent interview, I'm never making a
superhero. There's no fucking way. He's just imagine like, if he did. Yeah, I'm making Shazam 3.
Yeah, Zachary Levi's got some very interesting takes on the character that the other director didn't allow him to go to.
Yeah, and we're going to keep the same kid who is now a fully grown man.
Yeah, and we're going to presuppose that...
But we're going to de-age him.
It's insane that it exists. Like, I know that sounds basic as hell, but I was just like...
It's pretty funny.
But it's just... But I just like... I think because
it's you, like, I imagine you like kneeling at the bed at the end of your bed each night,
like not being able to sleep,
praying, thanking God for three Batman movies directed by Christopher Nolan.
Because then we had fucking Zack Snyder, The Flash, like the Michael Keaton. Like, think of all of the shit that's happened in such a small amount of time after.
Dear God, thank you for three Batman movies directed by Christopher Nolan
that aren't mid,
and for allowing Quentin Tarantino to introduce the film Chungking.
No, introduce Express. Chinese films to the Western world. And the A Cranberries cover of Dreams by Faye Wong. It's been a good big week. It's been a huge week for me. I'm reading manga. I'm thinking about the Dark Knight trilogy. I'm looking at my calendar and I'm going, when have I got 9 hours to just watch that all back to back one weekend?
We did it one. No, wait. Yeah, we did. No, we did the one, first two, and then we saw the next one. Like,
yeah, I'm thinking. I'm thinking it's back.
Sneaking some.
I've got those 4Ks sitting there burning a hole in my. Blu-ray collection.
I own them all on DVD too. I'm sorry, on Blu-ray as well.
Yeah,
I think we got given a bunch of Blu-rays to give away at a trivia night. I just kept them.
I'm not giving that away, you idiot.
We need 5 copies each.
Yeah, what are you going to call us and check that we gave them away? Go away.
We're not going to give them away to the audience that called us bat fags.
No, well, I would actually now. I'd be like, that's actually pretty good.
You got us good, guys.
Yeah, damn. Christian Bale, Tom Hardy. Heath Ledger.
I want to see.
It's so good that it sounds so grim, but it was just so good that like that's the only Heath Ledger Joker performance. You know what I mean?
Right.
Very imitated. By I mean like Jason Momoa and like every other actor.
Yeah, totally. But it's incredible.
I think that like that adds this like extreme specialness to that particular film too. Like it ends and you don't go, oh, it was a bit too much. Like you know what I mean? It didn't overdo a good thing. Like Jack Sparrow in like the pirate sequels when they're just like, oh, it's about him now. And it was like, he was kind of good when he flitted in and out of the first one. Like that's the best use of that character.
How many are there? 5 of those movies?
Yeah.
But he's not in one?
No, he's in all of them. But okay, I think after 3, he's the only consistent thing. They change everything else.
It's so funny that like Disney never had another successful theme park influenced influence movie.
Haunted Mansion invites.
Oh, what's up with movies coming out so much later than the rest of the world? It's in Australia very old at the world.
I guarantee it's strike related.
Wait, I know one of them. There's that DreamWorks movie which flopped in America, the Teenage Kraken one.
Yeah, that's coming out soon.
It's coming out like the same week as Blue Beetle.
It's so funny.
It came out over a month ago in America. So long ago. Yeah.
But I got the Haunted Mansion invite, and the funny thing is, there's a Baskin Robbins out the front of the cinema. You reckon they're going to do some tie-ins?
Yeah, because there's like so many weird...
Apparently there's a lot of like ADR'd like corporate shout-outs. Like there's shots. I've seen someone's filmed it, put it up online of Lakeith Stanfield's role and he's speaking about his wife dying. And it's not delivered in a funny way. It's like a serious scene. But when he mentions the brands, it's like...
My wife got hit by a car on the way back from Baskin and Robbins.
But as he says that line, it cuts to reaction shots of other actors. So like it's obviously ADR'd. Like insert brand here. And apparently it happens like 4 or 5 more times in the film.
What if it's regional and it's a different ice cream chain for
Wendy's.
Every country.
That'd be great
country.
For Australia, Wendy's. You know, she just loves New Gloria
Zealand
jeans.
Natural.
Like
Gloria jeans.
She just loves a mocha shake. That
actually
jeans.
Is fucking funny if they do like a really regional specific ice
cream
shop.
Awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. Like they do it by state. They find out which are the biggest chain by chain in all of Australia.
She died... She died hypothermia from Cold Rock,
picking up a 30-cent cone from McDonald's.
Yeah,
actually, I'm wrong. I think they're 50 cents now.
Yeah,
that's all ADR'd in
there. But available 24 hours a day. breakfast menu closes this time, that time.
Yeah,
yeah. I'm kind of morbidly curious to see that the new Haunted Mansion.
I love that. Yeah, they already did a failed Haunted Mansion with Eddie fucking Murphy
who was at the time huge. Well.
I think it's like a string of Eddie Murphy flops.
It was like, you're right, in between Pluto Nash and
Because he did, he had so much nutty professor.
Yeah, goodwill. Well, yeah, he'd rizzed out, and when he played the entire cast of the Nutty Professor to the Clumps,
that's so good.
He out-rizzed himself. probably his last like hugely beloved performance where he made a lot of money was that or Mulan.
I like Bowfinger.
Yeah, Steve.
Did that
Martin.
Do well? Fuck, I mean, there's so much good. There's so much good TV at the moment. Only Murders in the Building, which you've not watched.
I haven't watched it.
Season 3 just dropped. It's a really good show.
Yeah, it's always in the queue.
I have like 2 episodes left of The Bear season 2.
Finally, I can't wait to talk to you about. Oh, and you watched episode 7 and 6.
Fucking incredible episodes.
Yeah,
I'm with like Richie Farren. I always was 7, like a character that I was rooting for.
He's the best character. Always,
and now I'm like, I cannot believe how good they've made him. It reminds me a lot of like
Tanamichi.
Yeah.
Just working hard.
It's that
finally
slant, yeah.
Becoming a team player.
Well, not even Tanamichi. Who's the guy who can do the 3-pointers?
Takagi?
Rukawa. Not Rukawa.
Oh, Mitsui, the one that comes back.
Yes,
sorry.
Yeah, cool. We're talking about Slam Dunk, everyone. And what are that's just so sick that you've read all of Slam Dunk. We can make this podcast so much worse now.
I know. Yeah, Mitsui, he has the, he falls over, hurts his knee, misses a season or two. And then becomes
comes
a
back
gang
a fucking as a bully.
Comes back like, with cigarettes.
The gym fight, like volume.
It was a good 4 volume. No, it was like 4 volumes. Good. Yeah, yeah. Is that in the film?
No.
Okay.
It's like there's a flashback to it. Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
God, I can't wait to see that fucking movie again.
I can't wait to see it. Now that I'll know the canon as well.
And now a word from our really, really great sponsors. Trust me, I know a lot about good deals, folks, and this is a great deal.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
But that Richie arc in episode 7 of The Bear, that entire episode, and then you get that fucking scene with why can't I remember her surname, Olivia Colman,
who's also in Heartbreaker season 2,
and
which
also
I'm watching
in Secret Invasion.
As I was saying to B, it's so funny that she's in 2 of the best shows I've seen this year.
Yeah,
and Secret Invasion
the worst.
But
that Richie
worst.
Episode is impeccable, right?
Yeah,
just like fuck, and that amazing bit with the phone call, and she's like, I'm getting married.
And I love that they introduced Gillian Jacobs as his ex-wife in the previous episode. They've set up, like, I know a lot of people were, I saw like a bit of discourse about like how distracting it was, that because there's a flashback episode in season 2 of The Bear.
And there's a big flashback opener, I think, in season 1.
The actor is who
plays
Mikey.
There's that great scene where it's him. It's just the family. You don't see the mum and the father, but it's just...
You forget. Yeah, John. It's them. It's John. John, we're going to do...
John Bernthal.
Spoilers for the first 1.5 seasons of The Bear, everyone.
John Bernthal plays Mikey, who is like... You know, fucking New York in Sex and the City. He's like the fifth character of The Bear. He's in every scene, but isn't.
So I knew that episode 6, I had no idea of any. Like, I thought that.
So I didn't know either.
You were like, you mentioned someone in, and I can't even remember. In we were recording an episode.
Will Poulter.
Okay, right.
And that was unrelated.
And I forgot who that
was. I
was
like, oh, you're up to the Will Poulter.
Right.
Because I knew it was early.
His cameo not even cameo. His role in the Copenhagen episode. I could not believe how good he was.
Now,
I know
watched the Richie episode. when he has. Do you realize that he is Kami was the chef? Picture,
yeah.
And he's like, yes. There was one guy I worked with, and I realized I could never be that good. It's Kami.
God damn, that I love photo, this show.
I was like, that payoff. Yeah. Man, I got chills talking about it now. Because you're like, that's an amazing. That's why I think last week I asked you, I was like, do you remember that monologue he gave about that chef?
Yeah.
I was like, who do you think? But I didn't even say that. But then it's just like, Richie's leaving, final part. And he just sees that photo and it's Kami and Will Poulter. And you're like, fuck, that is my, I'm trying to think of a real bad Marvel reference where they're like,
Thor's hammer or something.
Yeah, that's my Thor's hammer.
That's my, why don't you use your real name, Robin?
Yeah, that's my, it's left a calling card, it's, you know.
But I also love that, yeah, in the Richie episode, it takes this, you know, you just because of the nature of the restaurant industry, when all these people are working for a chef, Terry, you expect it to be a man.
Yeah.
And then when it turns out to be not just a man, but not just a woman, but also like an immediately recognizable actor in Olivia Colman. And also you can tell how much Richie respects this person, and he wouldn't believe anyone else if they said that Calm said good things about him.
No.
It takes her being the one saying, he's got your back.
Yeah.
That's one of the biggest things that changes him.
And I love
as a
that
person.
We don't see any of those things on screen, like Calm calling. You know what I mean? And
exactly,
I love that
you
learn this shit sporadically.
But you kind of expect that you're like, no, Calm is good. And
he's a great guy.
Yeah.
No, he's great. He's just like too good at being a chef to be good in any other aspect of his life.
I love Tina's arc is fucking amazing. Her singing karaoke.
So the man, that was so beautiful.
And then
her going out with everyone.
Her singing karaoke, and then like obviously not the same episode, but very similar. Richie singing Taylor, Love Story by Taylor Swift.
Just driving.
Because like, and B, we were laughing so much at that, and B was like, oh, like it's so funny that of all the Taylor songs, it's that song. I'm like, well, it makes sense because he's only into Taylor Swift because his five-year-old daughter
his five-year-old
is.
And he's got
so that would be the song that
she
knows.
Should be playing on repeat. And he even says earlier that season, he's like, oh, something about he's heard Taylor Swift so many times. Remember?
Yes, totally.
Drops the daughter off and he's like.
But so episode 6 is a flashback Christmas episode.
It's like almost feature length. It's like 70 minutes.
I saw people talking about like that it was good, but it was very distracting because all of the family members are played by extremely recognizable actors. I didn't know who was going to be
Same.
In it.
I somehow managed to not know anybody except for Jillian Jacobs because she's the creator's wife in real life.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And I saw her post a photo somewhere, someone tweeted it or retweeted her Instagram. She was wearing the original Burf shirt.
Oh, cool.
And then someone was like, oh, yeah, she's the guy's wife.
So,
or partner, but they're like.
But yeah, straight away, you see fucking Bob Odenkirk and John Mulaney, like in like the first five seconds of the episode.
The best thing I've ever seen Mulaney.
I was just like, what? Like,
Mulaney was insane when he's just like, I'm going to give you $500 and all you'd have to pay me back, but you have to call me
to tell
once a week what has happened to that. I was like, that was like one of the funniest things I've ever seen. Just that entire conversation. Sarah Paulson as his wife.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And
she's like the one that's like, come to New York.
It's so also so rare to see, like we see Bob Odenkirk play shady guys all the time,
he's
but never
like
a complete asshole. And
dude,
he's
the fork.
Oh my god!
And then the fact Bernthal the fork is leads into
the episode
Richie
all
the
about
forks.
Forks. Yeah.
Fuck, Bernthal's amazing. He is incredible in this. That like light switch moment when he's so happy and jolly in life for the party, and then he gets that like present from Calm, and it just something it triggers him or something.
Yeah.
And he's just in that mood for the rest of it, and he's this like, and we sort of really know what Odenkirk's relationship is. Is he an uncle?
Yeah, I think it's just like, you know, like in the same way that Richie is like a cousin.
Yeah.
I think that
But his surname is apparently, so in season one, the tomato cans.
Yep.
It's like BKU or something. It's like Jimmy's, the like, what are their surnames?
Barrazzo or something.
Yeah,
like
Barrazzo. And the theory is it's Odenkirk's other surname, all the people that lent the money.
Yeah, right. Okay,
and
sure.
I'm sure we'll find out as the show goes on more, but he's the one that was like really grilling him about doing nothing. And I think that's where it came. Oh man. And that great scene with Jimmy when he's like, she's like, oh, you got him a job. And
yeah, yeah.
Just like, oh.
And I love Gillian Jacobs. Like Britta was like one of the like the better characters in Community.
Great.
And like,
yeah. I never watched, great in that show, Love.
I was going to say, I never watched it with Paul. I
forget his name.
The guy from Don't Stop or We'll Die.
Yeah. He directed the
Pee-wee movie.
Third Pee-wee film.
Yeah. R.I.P. Yeah. Pee-wee.
R.I.P.
R.I.P. Wee.
R.I.P. Wee.
But then, of course, we haven't talked about her at all, and she's fucking incredible in this episode. And, but my
stock, fresh off a fucking Oscar as well,
and for which I don't think she deserved.
No, she was. I thought like I was like, oh, this is the Oscar performance.
And like, I was like, you know, I did like Everywhere All. I loved it, but I don't think it deserved a lot of the Oscars that it won. And no. I think of all the Oscars that it won, the least deserving was Jamie Lee Curtis. In fact, I would have given it to the actor from Everywhere All at Once.
The daughter.
Exactly.
100%.
She was so much better than Jamie Lee Curtis.
Yeah, I agree. I think that, and as we know, they don't give Oscars for the best talent. They're like, thanks for being in the film industry for 40 years.
Hey, we loved A Fish Called Wanda.
Yeah, we loved you in True Lies.
Yeah.
She should have got it for True Lies. She's incredible in that. She really is.
And I know that like a lot of people don't like her at the moment because of her comments about the strike. But she was insanely good in this. Like she had a very hard role to play.
I have
as this like fucking burnt, damaged
member of
mother.
My family who is so I was quite. I'm not gonna say triggered, but it was very similar to a lot of my family Christmases. Not an immediate family, not my mother or father, but someone we see constantly at Christmas, a relative who has like a huge drinking problem and gets in that erratic, like thinks they're the main character, giving instructions. Mm-hmm. And I was like feeling very calmy watching that. I was like just being quiet and just like at Christmas, I'm like, oh yeah, I don't really sometimes like those family events. Not because of, you know, my immediate family, but I find them far more stressful.
I love her to death, but my mother-in-law refuses to let anyone but her cook on Christmas.
And you're just like, and you're it's a mad
like
person.
Like why are there three different meats for a tape for yeah. you know a,
and then it's the
eight
like
people.
Exhaustion that comes from that, and you're like you don't yeah, have to be
obviously
exhausted.
That's the only element that's similar for her. She's not a drunk, and she's not angry at everyone, but
it's it's not good. And I was like, oh, this was actually like very familiar to Christmases I've been to.
So a lot of people were like, I found that episode really hard to watch. I fucking laughed that shit up.
I was
oh
like,
my God.
I'd watch that in a theater, like in a cinema.
Yeah.
I thought it was incredible.
It was like when everyone said how like stressed out Uncut Gems made them.
Yeah. Or like when people
I was in like
a
state
even
of
like
bliss
people
for
were
that
very
movie.
Stressed from the season one episode, the one take episode when they get like Uber Eats installed, remember? And the receipt keeps popping and it's just that one. It's a stressful scenario, but also like I'm very aware that these are actors. You know what I mean? I don't know.
So yeah, the last
I love meeting Fax Brother.
And then they teased the sister.
Yeah.
And I was
the fax sister.
And when he got denied that of allowing her to come, I was like damn
who
it.
Who is it going
to
be?
I know. I was like,
we
so
got next
excited.
Year.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
So yeah, they just passed the fire suppression test. That was the last thing that happened.
That's right.
And like
the balloon.
I've set up a restaurant in 2011.
Wait, what
with
do they
my
realize
wife.
It's from again?
It's something Mikey did. When he tried to set the restaurant
Jew
on fire,
for a,
Jewish lightning is what
Jewish
what he calls
Richie,
it. I never have a problem. I've never heard that term outside of this show.
It's American, I guess.
Yeah,
it means like an insurance scam, right?
Right.
I guess in Chicago, it's probably like a very derogatory.
Of course, yeah. In like, general, I'm sure it has a horrible.
I'm sure Kanye West has probably used it a few times.
I'm sure it's like the name of his next album.
Yeah. Jewish Lightning feat Drake when they patch things up finally.
I set up a restaurant with my wife in 2011 and we were calling on family for so many favors. At one point we went to a hospital to check out their old oven that they wanted to get rid of. I think we set up the entire restaurant for $20,000. That was the extent of the loan that we were given from family
it's
members.
Very cheap as well.
So cheap. We did it on the cheap because a lot of stuff was already in there. It was, when you set up a restaurant from scratch, a lot of your money comes from installing a grease trap and installing exhaust fans.
Mm-hmm.
But that was already there. So we just had to like do loan equipment mm-hmm. from companies and buy a few things. But it was still like, you know, every day for a month I had to be in the city at 5 a.m. because that's all the builders were doing stuff for us as favors.
Mm-hmm.
And so they would do it before other jobs.
Fuck.
Or as early as possible so they could get it out of the way.
Yeah.
And there's so many parallels of like, like the first time the health inspectors came to visit us was one of the scariest experiences of my life. It was like 3 days into our restaurant and they came because there was a fucking Band-Aid in someone's food that fell off. It was me.
Oh, wow. Because
I did it to prevent myself getting a blister.
Yeah.
The person who gets a Band-Aid in their mouth doesn't know that, but no. Like, and I think I've talked about it on the show a few years ago. Someone wrote to me and said, "Hey, I felt guilty about this for years, but I've got to come clean. I've reported you to the health inspector, and I feel so bad about that. Like, blah blah blah. Like, your food was really good. I went there so many times afterwards, but I was like, dude, you did the right thing because it made our restaurant better.
Yeah.
It was a shitty mistake that I had to learn from, but." That is one of the fucking craziest things I've ever done in my life. And it's so funny that you did it and survived. It's this open and shut chapter of Andrew Levin's restaurateur.
You're like, yeah, I did that. Next one.
Yeah, exactly.
Like you tell your kid, like, oh, Dad, did you go in a restaurant one day? And you're like, oh, yeah.
No, yeah, Archie, because Archie will occasionally go get my cookbook and look through all the recipes.
Hmm.
And he'll be like,
this guy, Matt Damon, looks like you. How did Matt Damon write a cookbook?
He's so disappointed that he can't like just go to my restaurant and eat hot dogs all the time and stuff now. But
okay, whatever. Sonic.
We did do a chili dogs for a while. They were fucking great. Yeah. Dynamite chili dog.
I guess you had your bear moment, or was that the beef moment? And now you're going to leave it to somebody to make it the bear.
I do love that they're maintaining the hole in the wall, like takeaway spot.
Yeah.
Because otherwise it is a very funny, like, story where it's like, let's get rid of this beloved neighborhood spot and open this extremely gentrified, like,
doing the takeaway spot's great. Like, you need that. You get the beef.
And like a long running joke. I remember like when I did my honeymoon in America in 2013. Yep. Good memory. My friend Dan Hong, who's a chef, he was there around the same time. And I remember him writing to me going, "Hey, take a note. Every restaurant you go to in America, every high-end restaurant, every single course is a meat served with a fruit. No other country does this. It's so weird." And then, yeah, it's really funny because every single dish that Kami or Sydney represents, suggests, it's a meat with a fruit.
Yeah.
With blueberries or a plum or pear. Yeah, it's a really funny American fine dining thing.
That's so weird.
Yeah.
Maybe fruit's like a big
deal
there.
But I love that. Like, that is well researched.
Yeah.
But I don't know if they see it find it funny like we do.
Probably not.
Yeah.
It's
They're not
laughing when they say it.
Fine dining in Australia is a bit simpler. Like,
yeah, it's like all vegetables.
All the flashy shit that like all the like that dumb what was the Heston Blumenthal name for making a foam out of this, blah, 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 blah. Like, there's elements of that in the bear's dishes that I feel like aren't
true.
No one does that shit in Sydney anymore.
No, but he's like Noma / that fictional New York restaurant he was the best chef at. Hard to shake that shit.
Sorry, it's got a great, great parenting update.
Oh, really?
So Tilly and Archie have been obsessed with this dog shit show on Netflix called Baking Impossible.
Sure.
And it is where they come.
They like make cakes or something.
So one of them is it's teams of two. One of them is a baker, and the other one is an engineer. And so they will be given challenges where they have 2 days to construct a cake that can survive an earthquake. And so they build like this enormous cake, and then they have to like survive like 3 levels of earthquakes. And if it falls, they lose. The kids love it. They're so invested, and they have like two. There was one team that they just love. They're like the younger guys. Like one of them is like this chick that has purple hair, and the other one's like this like young engineer. And they were their favorite. And B just sent me a message saying, "So Cindy and Taylor didn't win Baking Impossible, and Archie and Tilly both bawled their eyes out."
Those damn kids.
"To calm Tilly down, I found them both on Instagram, and you're going to have to show them a bunch of their reels tomorrow morning."
Kids these fucking days.
And like, these are kids that survived the penalty shootout that we watched on Saturday night.
Crying that some...
The best thing is they call the contestants on the show Bacon Ears.
Oh, yeah, that's nice. That's really...
epic.
Yeah, that's
epic Bacon Ears.
Yeah.
Netflix is wild as fuck for like their food concept shows. Like,
is that like
Is it cake?
There's that Nailed It.
Yeah.
Which I thought was a show about like getting your nails done,
or like trying to smash heaps of chicks.
Yeah, or like just carpenters just being like, yeah, nailed it. That'd be cool, actually.
But yeah, like that's my kid's crack.
I've had Netflix for a few months.
Wow.
It's like 20 something dollars a month now.
It's so expensive. But
and I was like, I don't watch anything on there.
All my kids' favorite programming. Even Teen Titans Go.
Yeah.
Binge doesn't have two seasons and they're the ones that my kids are up to. And
like I still have my account, but it's just like, oh, if I go to watch something, it doesn't work. And I'm like, there's nothing on there that I want to watch.
So you just stop paying? Or
you can cancel it. Yeah. I just don't have anything I want to watch on there until like Selling Sunset comes out. Like,
I have all of them.
It's so fucking expensive.
I know. I have all of them. I claim.
Oh, I do too. But I was like, I don't even want to just pay $22 a month to not watch Netflix. It just seemed like a sucker thing to do. Plus, I was like, they're just going to make more dog shit shows with that money. I don't want.
Honestly, they're going to be the first ones to fully pioneer like an AI made television show.
I believe it's already been made, and films have been made, and they just haven't told us yet because they know the feedback. Like that fucking Gal Gadot film that's out,
which
now
is like from the executive producer of Mission Impossible: Dead Reckoning.
Yeah,
part one.
Yeah, like that one. That's an AI movie. That's the entity is made. That's what they mean.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah.
Producer. That's a fake movie.
Good. Yeah, when Tom Cruise swims to the bottom of the ocean and puts both keys in the entity.
Gal Gadot comes out.
Netflix turns off.
Boom. Yeah. It's I just can't watch anything on that.
Yeah.
It's true crime stuff that they're still riffing off from Making a Murderer because that was a hit 7 years ago.
Well, their original programming is rough. I mean, they got a lot of good anime on there.
Yeah,
but sure. I'm also paying for fucking Crunchyroll and High Dive at the moment.
Oh, see, yeah, all I pay for is Disney.
I have everything. It's.
I mean, I get some other stuff for free.
For some reason, we have Stan free forever.
Forever.
I don't know what but we just have it.
I watched Degrassi on there. I'm keeping that thing.
Paramount, we have.
I have that for free. We share Paramount.
You've given me a login.
You
for
have
that one.
Jarvis. I made your login Jarvis. Jarvis.
Disney had, because we got all the FX and
honestly,
and
like, I know
all
it
the
sounds
star
like
stuff
Disney
on,
build, but Disney Plus in Australia is like by far the best service.
I've been watching the new Futuramas, and it only took them 3 episodes to make a fully dog shit one.
Oh, I mean that's pretty good.
The third episode was so bad. It's
which
about,
one is that?
It's like a fucking Western,
oh,
like a cowboy one.
I saw a clip from
and
it,
and it's about Bitcoin.
I saw a clip from it on like Instagram, and I was like, it was like 30 seconds, and I guess it was the highlight of the episode to try to get you to watch it, and it was rough stuff.
I was just like, man, why?
It, was it just so felt like it was really bad.
It was one of those ones where I just didn't laugh the entire time, and I was like, oh, that's the
like
sign
Disenchantment.
That eventually, I never returned for season 2, but by the end of season 1, it got good.
By the end of season 1, I like got kind of what it was about.
Yeah, totally.
And then it was just like, yeah, it just feels like a fake show.
I watched the classic episode.
Oh, the only thing I get Netflix for is I Think You Should Leave, as well as Selling Sunset. I knew there was another.
Yep.
Yeah. I just wish they did more stuff like that. Instead, it's all like, you must binge this show about people trying to kill each other. You know what I mean? Or like,
yeah, so
the teen show, but now they're Asian because we saw that Chinese people like this, or the teen show, but it's, no, you know, they use people's data to reverse engineer shows.
Sure.
Yeah.
Or just sell concepts to different countries. And then weirdly that country's version of a show becomes more popular.
Yeah.
And
now they're like apparently they're like remaking Squid Game as an English show.
Yeah.
Like an English native show. And it's just like, the other one is already like record breaking. It's okay that it's in Korea. You know what I mean?
Totally.
Like, you don't need, it's just.
If anything, the only thing people had a problem with from first Squid Game was the English
the
speaking
American
characters.
Yeah. Fucking insane. Yeah. I don't really.
I finished season 3 of Demon Slayer today. Really good finale. There's, you know, the chick with the pink hair.
Yeah.
She's like the
butterfly one.
The love Hashira. No, I know. Maybe you haven't seen her yet. She's got an enormous rack. You'd love it.
She's already my favorite.
And she has her sword is like a ribbon.
Sick. What's her name?
Is it Mitsui?
Would you say love Hashira? All right, I'm just gonna Google that. I'm gonna look at this. Love Hashira.
I think I just named a slam dunk character anyway.
Spoiler too. Oh yeah, she's cool. Oh yeah, massive rack.
Yeah.
The only character whose like clothes seem to just like not cover that part of her body. Just strategic, like a button is
a power girl.
I don't like her eyes. Bit much.
You don't have to look at him, brother.
Trust me, I'm not. No, I respect women's sport. When's this scene in the movie where she's eating when she's sucking mochi balls like ball?
I don't
know.
Must be hopefully next season. But this season it drags for a while because they go really, really into the backstory of one of the other characters.
Oh, and, like what? One of the leads?
No. Like you know how like, it's well, okay. Season 2 and 3, it's just the gang hanging out with different Hashira, like different sure. different swordsmen, and you learn their backstory, and it's always like, yeah, I had a loving family or a difficult family, but then one day demons came and killed all my family, and yeah. I'm the only survivor. And it's like, why are we spending 3 episodes explaining, like, just doing a different variation
of the same thing.
On the main character yeah, story that we've seen again? In the first. So they do that for that, and then they when she shows up to the like in the like the second last episode, whatever, it's so good. She's so much fun. She like kicks ass. She has an amazing weapon, and she's just a fun character. And after everyone has these tragic backstories, her backstory is that no one wants to marry her because she has pink hair.
Yeah, I mean, it happens to the best of us. That's yeah. very tragic.
That's her, like no one in her family dies. She just is strong and has pink
and
hair
massive tits.
And a big rack, and no one wants to marry her, so she becomes a swordsman.
No, I mean, yeah, it's kind of like John Wick, I guess, except she didn't lose a partner, and I guess her pet's still alive.
I started season 2 of Jujutsu Kaisen.
Yeah, and it's a prequel.
Yeah, season. It's like a full-on. Yeah. It's crazy. Like we got a full first season, right? 13 episodes of that first season. Then they made Jujutsu Kaisen 0, which is the original series, into a movie. And now they're doing a season that's an entire flashback.
Is that how it follows in the manga at all or no?
Getting
quite liberal with that.
Yeah, it kind of goes back and forth through time. But yeah, it is weird that like they introduce the three leads and then
see ya.
We're not going to see him for so long.
That is interesting.
But yeah, the combo of one of my favorite opening themes, the Eve song.
Mm. They still keep that?
No, that's not in it. And then the amazing closing song. Go with on. Yeah, and so like the theme songs this season just do not hold a candle.
You're like, well, what's the point of watching this?
Exactly.
Show?
It's still really good and well animated.
It's like a sandwich, but now the bread is dog shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. That remember how good the like Lost in Paradise.
Yeah. Great animation.
One of the best.
Yeah, I haven't watched those for a while.
Anime's fun as shit. I just, you know.
Crunchyroll. And also like, I don't know. I love Chainsaw Man.
That was one of the greats.
Yeah, I got to watch Demon Slayer though. I love season 1 and Megan Train.
Megan Trainor.
Love her work in the pop scene. So weird that was like the highest. I was reading the other day, people were just like, that's crazy that's the highest grossing movie in Japan.
Yeah, it was
and
like
it was because of COVID and cuz people were like, It's not a great film by any means. Like
it's so good.
It's good, but they're like, yeah. It's not fucking Spirited Away. Like people aren't going to be talking about
but
it.
But if you like fucking fighting,
it was right place, right time.
That for second this, like, that second half of the movie is
yeah, it's
the
good.
Best.
But it's
fighting
also then I think
seen.
Also almost being like instantly lowered because it's like this next season was like it cut up. I know like that's.
I think they just re-aired it as episodes.
But
yeah.
It's like it's
I think
so,
a lot of people were taken aback by that though, yeah.
It is funny that is the highest grossing movie, but it totally was a COVID thing I think as well, and a lot of people watched that show during COVID and it was like this like people were you know what I mean?
Well, it was
like,
also yeah, it became the highest selling manga.
Totally.
It beat One Piece
after
it
had finished.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is kind of crazy. It just was this I think the series was like this right place right time. And unfortunately,
total
during
phenomenon,
like a pandemic,
yeah.
and just went crazy.
That first season is just so well animated. Like,
totally,
UFO table. Yeah, you know what? I heard it's pronounced like UFO table.
UFO, that's cool.
Yeah,
that's cooler. But yeah, it's like it's so funny that it dethroned like Your Name and Spirited Away, which I think will probably be in the conversation longer than.
Yeah,
Demon
for sure,
Slayer.
Of course,
especially Spirited Away, which is like.
Well, no, I feel like a tenth of the people that watched the first season of Demon Slayer are watching this. Most recent one.
Me, I wish I was watching it, but
you watch Demon Slayer.
It's on Netflix.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's not on Crunchy. Now it's all on
it's
Crunchy.
It's bizarre that they, yeah, I guess Country were like, man, fuck it, that's
and
our
they
baby.
All own, I don't understand what's going on with Crunchy, what role, isn't it? Like,
well, yeah, like Sony shit, owns or, everything.
Yeah. Every Chinese cartoon goes through Sony now, right?
Yeah. No, there's High Dive. Has like a bunch of other ones, and there's another one as well that we don't get here.
I fucking hate this.
There's so much. I mean, like
streaming.
They kind of shouldn't
again.
Be. There's that much anime though that like, you kind of you would like them to all be somewhere, but that actually isn't good for the industry either.
Sure.
So no, whatever.
Whatever. Fuck it, dog.
Fuck television. That we haven't been talking about movies this whole time, and I saw a very big one in the last week, and so did you.
We both saw two movies that each other had seen already, but we didn't talk about at length on the podcast because the other one hadn't seen it. I saw Asteroid City the same night that you saw Blackberry.
Oh, yeah. I was like, what are we talking about?
And they're two of the best movies of the year.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, so that's what tonight's PayFam is going to be all about. Asteroid City and Blackberry. Two of the cinematic greats.
Mine or yours?
Whose cities are asteroids?
Yours or mine?
And the only way you can hear us discuss these cinematic giants is to head to patreon.com/heyfam. $5 a month is all it costs for you to gain access to
the latest film by author Will Anderson of the Gruen Transfer and Royal Tenenbaums fame.
Yep.
And if you notice every episode, every episode of the Gruen Transfer, everything's symmetrical. It's right in the middle of that table.
Head over to patreon.com/heyfam. We'd love to have you not just listening to the episode, but also hanging out with us in our Discord, talking about all the things that we talk about on the show with hundreds of other people from all around the world.
That's right.
In our community forum.
That's right.
Any closing words?
No, I'll talk about it in the next one.
You got to hear, if you want to hear the closing words, you've got to pay $5. And that's the way the cookie crumbles.
Sorry, gang.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Bowl and Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Bowl and Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bowlandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.